Welcome to the In Hope Podcast, where each Monday we discuss how we can strengthen unity in the body of Christ. We want you to be part of the conversation, so subscribe, like, share, follow, and let us know your thoughts from this week's episode. Hey, this week we got to jump into conversation with Executive Director Kimbra Shaw and founder Blossom Johnston of Row 116. This is a great organization. They have a fast pitch event coming up on June 10th at Riverside Community Church located off of 10 Mile in Meridian. Encourage you to get there, check out this conversation, and enjoy this week's episode of the In Hope Podcast.
So cool.
Awesome. That is
so cool. Please, like I said, help yourselves if you guys would like something. There's fries in there and there's some chicken. And then we have a water as well.
I don't have a doggy. Isn't that sad? I don't have a doggy.
Do you? Do you have a doggy?
I have a doggy like Bobo.
Bobo?
Yeah, Bilbo.
Oh, Bilbo.
I like Bilbo Baggins.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Does he look like Bilbo Baggins?
He's a retriever mix. So his dad was English cream and his mom was golden. So his dad was just a pure white retriever. His mom was a deep orange gold retriever.
Oh,
and
wow.
He's gotten darker and darker the older that he's gotten. Huh. But you can still see a lot of that.
He was almost all white.
Yeah, he was almost all white. But now along his back is darker, but it's still not a really deep dark like his mom. It's a light blonde and his belly is white. So he's a cutie.
So what's your connection to Mission 17?
That's
all him.
Honestly.
Give me some French fries. You want me to get you some?
I'll walk with you.
Oh, okay. Give a little something.
We've talked with Michael and we're planning on working alongside of them to help with a Convoy of Hope event that's going to be happening here.
I must
in the Treasure Valley.
Yeah.
So Convoy does community events where they set up about 3 or 5 acres of property with a bunch of resources from the community and try to help people in the community and connections to those resources, provides everyone with some groceries to take home. Everybody gets some food while they're there. And so the goal is to put on a Convoy of Hope community event on behalf of the Churches of the Treasure Valley. Mm. And it looks like we're going to be able to do that over at the Salvation Army Boise Corp.
Nice.
So our hope there is to make that happen in August of next year.
Okay.
2025.
Okay. How does it connect, if at all, to iHeart?
iHeart is just one of those phenomenal organizations as from my perspective, right?
Well, from my perspective.
Too. Right, we love Mark.
So from my perspective, I started doing ministry out here in 2017. And iHeart was one of those organizations. There's a few organizations whose names are just buzzed around and you'll hear them regularly.
Synonymous with service.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And iHeart was one of those. Got involved with our church and our youth group, got involved with the iHeart Treasure Valley volunteering. We're friends with Dusty, me, him, Robert. So City Network, we all are part of an organization called the Syndicate. We have a microchurch called Limitless. Mm-hmm. And so when we were first heading down that road and getting started, we made connection with Dusty and just kind of sat down with him. We've stayed connected ever since. And so I've heard different things that iHeart Treasure Valley does. And so over the years with Row 116, the Treasure of the Valley weekend and then the pastor's retreat and so forth. And so I've just always loved a lot of the things that iHeart Treasure Valley does. Mm-hmm. And it's an organization I'm hoping will definitely be involved with the Convoy of Hope community event. I don't see how you can rightfully have a large scale event in the Treasure Valley from the Churches of the Treasure Valley mm-hmm. without also including some of those key organizations yeah. like I Heart yeah. Treasure Valley and yeah. Getting the City Network involved and mm-hmm. different things like that. So
I'd pull Love Inc. in there too.
Oh yeah,
because
absolutely.
They can give you the follow-up absolutely. Piece that you know the singular yeah. event won't, but they can give you the follow-up, and mm-hmm. they're fairly well connected with the churches. Mm-hmm. I hope still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then all the ministries that we've funded through Rule 116.
Yeah,
we should probably let them.
Oh,
know.
Absolutely. Yeah, because a big part of it is going to be spreading the word.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. I always say that unity starts with awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And so a big part of it, of us being able to just work together, is to know what's going on, mm-hmm. being connected with one another.
Yeah.
And that's something that I'm at ground level that I'm mm-hmm. growing in, even right now, is just learning what all the different organizations in the Treasure Valley do,
mm-hmm.
How we can collaborate, how we can yeah. partner together mm-hmm. in a way that's beneficial to one another. And so
when did you say that was? October?
It's going to be August of 2025.
Okay.
Is that Convoy of Hope event. And so
I like that you have enough time to plan it and do it with. You have a very beautiful smile.
You do.
What's up, Sachin?
I have a
you do. Bilbo.
Yeah.
Coca.
Coda.
Coda. That's the other dog. We have to.
Hoda and Coda. Oh, my goodness. You're busy. Do you have responsibility?
Yeah.
Do you get to feed them?
I have a huge, like, brown.
What?
Brown.
Brown. Okay. Well, I'm glad I got to meet you. Thanks for hanging out with us for a little while. Thank you for providing lunch. This was delicious. Is this your doing?
Say
yeah. Yeah, you're right. Okay. All right, go take care of those puppies.
Well, that was a treat.
Yeah. Oh, thank
you. That was a treat. Thank you.
I love, we have Avery, and then she has an older sister who's at Ambrose.
Okay.
She's 8. And both of those girls, Christina has always called them sweet and sour. it's just always called those Sour Patch Kids. Be sweet and sour.
Mm.
And so, because they can definitely have a good attitude on them already, but they are also just these sweetest little things.
Mm.
Driving over here, I've had a smile on my face because I have Jesus Loves Me going mm-hmm. right, because she was singing it in the back seat. Mm-hmm. As we're driving over from Chick-fil-A over here, she's just singing away.
Awesome.
Yeah, our daughter is 8, so she's in second grade right now.
At Ambrose?
At Ambrose, yeah.
That's
and
what?
She'll start pre-K this next fall. So.
Oh, that's right. You live in
to CUNA, from CUNA. Oh, yeah.
Do they have bus?
Well, and, huh?
Do they have a bus?
No, they don't have any buses. And then what's it called?
What's
Christina, no, good, actually, a big answer in prayer, just a huge blessing. She actually just got hired on as a teacher
at
the Bridge
good.
Campus. So the Bridge Campus is at Vineyard Boise.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So
that's even further.
That's even further. So usually it's dropping Aria off and then heading over to the bridge and picking Aria back up on the way. But, good. You know, here in the Treasure Valley, I always tell people it's 30 minutes. Wherever you're going from and going to, I just say it's 30 minutes, which that's a huge blessing growing up in Southern California, mm-hmm. outside of LA, and knowing that traffic and trying to get places over uh-huh. there. And also same thing in DFW area, if you're especially trying mm-hmm. to get from the north side to the south side of Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Oh
yeah 30 minutes doesn't seem like much.
Mm-hmm. Not at all
for us that have been here for a while. It's like 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I can get to Mountain Home by then. But I live out in the middle of nowhere in Nampa, almost.
Not anymore.
I know. It's cooling like crazy. And I was kind of saying, it'd take me 26 minutes to get to my office in Boise. Mm-hmm. 26 minutes.
Being down in CUNA and just seeing how much that's grown.
Yes. Just finding the right, mm-hmm. right on-ramp time.
Mm-hmm.
Time it well.
Well, and it's funny. I tell people there's a mental game when it comes to going to and from Boise.
Mm-hmm.
Because, for example, I can tell someone that we're down in Cuna, and in their mind, that's you're out in the boonies.
Oh,
you're,
yeah.
you're far away.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's a trip. We got a plan to go out there. That's a day event.
That's a day thing.
But if you were driving from Nampa to Boise, no one thinks a thing of it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And it's the same amount of time. But it's just this aspect of you're going to Boise versus if you're heading out to
there has to be something Milton. I want out there
exactly.
for me to go that right. way, right? Because everything else is right around me. At mm-hmm. least that's the attitude I have I have found.
So
But coming up here is not so bad. It's kind of like going to Boise now, even though it takes me longer to get here than it did to get to my office in Boise. It takes me longer to get here because of Eagle Road. What do you want to accomplish today? We brought a couple of notes. I brought her the same thing I bring because it makes me nervous to come in with nothing in front of me.
Well, really, like I said, being at that foundational level, kind of learning about different organizations, number one priority is really just to talk about Real 116. The heart behind it, what it does for the community, and really also just I feel like the idea of what Real 116 is doing with the crowdfunding for ministries in the local area, it's something that if it isn't already, it needs to be replicated more.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
And I don't feel like I would be going out on a limb to say it's probably happening, right? And it's the same thing when it comes to unity among different organizations within the church and ministers collaborating and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
It happens. It's not like it's completely absent from the body of Christ.
Actually, it kind of is. This rowing.
The way we're doing it is.
This is the first.
Yeah. So, I mean, that is so cool. And I feel like it's one of those things where it needs to happen. It just needs to happen more. So it's a conversation that I want to have, you know, where did this come from? What's the idea? What are some things you guys have learned along the way? And where can you see it going? How can you see this being a benefit to other communities as well for the body of Christ? Well, I shouldn't say obviously. I think we know at this table. So I'll let you guys get into what Row 116 means and what that stands for. But that's number one, is really to just do a deep dive there. And then from there, there's always conversation that comes up. And this is just my lens. This is my focus. This is my heartbeat, is unity within the body of Christ. And how can these things teach us about unity? What are some takeaways we can have here and things that we can apply for building and strengthening unity within the church? So let's just start with, where did this come from? How did this come about? Where did it come from? What was the idea? What sparked it?
I was following the Impact Club here in Boise.
Okay.
And seeing what they were doing. And I decided I'd go to one of their club meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat there and I felt like the Holy Spirit said, you need to do this for ministries.
Wow.
And so I came back. I talked to Becca. Yeah. Becca was the first one I talked to. I said, Becca, went to this thing. We need to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we got a small team of people together and we cast the vision. We said, here's what we think we should be doing as a body of Christ in the valley.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody said, they were like, yes.
Yeah.
And because it was gospel centric, sharing the gospel.
Yeah.
That is what excited them, because they weren't seeing much of that going on in the valley. In fact, that was one of the lessons we learned in the first few years with Row 116, was this thing, there aren't a lot of evangelical efforts in this valley.
Mm.
It was hard to find ministries to fund.
That were purely evangelical.
Well, even not just purely,
mm-hmm.
but that at least had an evangelical focus. Piece of it.
Yeah, yeah.
It was so hard to find. To find them. And so we're like, what is going on?
Mm-hmm.
And it just, everybody we talked to, they're like, yeah, the churches aren't doing evangelical things.
Mm-hmm. And the groups that are getting together, when she told me about this, I was leading another ministry, and we had applied for a grant to something similar. It was 100 Women Who Care.
Mm-hmm.
And we were declined. We were turned down because they said, oh, we don't do religious things.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And you know, we weren't even going for the evangelical gospel spreading part of our ministry. We were just trying to build a building and put coats on kids.
Mm-hmm.
No, we don't do religious things.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, oh, okay.
That's a lot of the giving circles philosophy is no faith-based.
Yeah. Faith-based. Yeah. Well, and then I feel like that's even a struggle when, as soon as it becomes faith-based, the organizations that are out there helping organizations, whether you're talking insurance companies, you're talking grants and those types of things, it narrows. A lot of times it being faith-based just narrows down the people who are willing to work with you, which is really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I had a conversation with someone over at the Meridian Meeting and Resource Center the other week, and we were talking about how the church used to be the center of the community.
Absolutely.
It used to be where...
And it still is in some communities.
And yes, and it's still... And it used to be that's where everything took place. That's where... your education took place. That's where, if needs needed to be met, that's where it was met.
Mm-hmm.
If there were social issues within the community, that's where we addressed it.
Yes.
And it was one of those things to where we don't have that as much anymore, where the church is that first go-to. Mm-hmm. And I think it's one of those circular or cyclical efforts to where it feeds into one another, where you have a narrowing and a cutoff to religious organizations who are trying to help in that aspect, but also maybe that cutoff has happened because of the drawing back. And so we draw back because we can't get the funding, and the funding isn't there because we've drawn back, and it just kind of, it goes in this loop.
Mm-hmm.
So I love...
You said something earlier that, you know, it begins with awareness.
Yes.
And I think there's a whole group of people that are out there who love Jesus, who don't know that we exist.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know that these ministries are out there and what they're doing.
Absolutely.
Because if you don't hear it from the pulpit and you don't happen to catch it in a newsletter, how do you know?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so that's one of the things that I think that Row 116 does really, really well, is it shines a spotlight on the ministries that are out there.
And so, I love that. I think that was one of my favorite things about when I first started hearing about the Row 116 meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And the couple that I've been to, I just love being able to go and you actually hear the heart behind those ministries.
Yeah.
You get to shake the hands of the people who are a part of that ministry, and you know what you are investing into.
Mm-hmm.
And it brings you an awareness. I know Kairos is going to be at the next meeting. And so again, I've heard of Kairos, but I don't know it. I can't say that I know the ins and outs of it. So to be able to go sit down and hear from people as they're sharing about what Kairos is, what it does, I just find that tremendously beneficial for that aspect of raising awareness.
Yeah. And to connect.
Yeah.
So that it does, you know, the money is awesome. That's awesome. And the connections to those ministries that will then end up in volunteers or additional funding or other resources is as big, if not bigger.
Exactly.
And essentially, they don't really want the money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they do want the money, but it's not the money.
No one's refused the money.
Exactly. Exactly. They're not going to refuse it, but what they want is volunteers.
Exactly.
That's what they want.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, this is a awesome thing to invest your time in, is it's a ministry.
Yeah.
And there's people who it's their DNA, but they don't know how to even connect.
Yeah. And they're not sure where they should connect. And,
exactly.
And it's funny because you can go on Google and you find these different options, but there's a disconnect and you're not sure where to go. It's different when you can talk with someone.
Exactly.
When you can hear from someone.
Face to face.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I think that is... That's so great. Would you guys actually mind describing one of these events? Because we're kind of talking about it. Describe what goes into these events. I was talking with someone the other day and we're talking about marketing and, you know, how much marketing you need to put into things and whether or not that will continue. And I just remembering the conversation we brought up. You know, if McDonald's is still doing commercials and still advertising and doing marketing, I think we will always need to market, always need to share that word and bring it back to people's remembrance. And
because we're competing for attention.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly.
That's the bottom line. Yep. Is we are competing for people's attention. Yep. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
Describe for us, you said, and what was it? It was Team Impact. Is that
Impact? The Impact Club. The
Impact Club.
Yeah.
And so you attended one of their meetings. You said, okay, we need to do this for ministries mm-hmm. here in the Valley. And you guys got a group, a team together. And so what was the vision for these meetings and kind of what have they become as far as these quarterly events? Did it start off with the idea of quarterly mm-hmm. events? And
it did. The biggest change, biggest pivot was I really wanted it to be more like a Shark Tank where they had to hone their message in order to get the funding, and they came ready. And so that was, we did that style for about, I think, two times.
Mm-hmm.
And the team just said, no, this is, we can't do this. Mm. We have to have a collective pot that we split.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they just said, in fact, we got feedback from some ministries that just said, if that's the way it's going to be, we're not joining, because we don't feel like we should be competing against other ministries.
Okay.
And so we dialed it back, and we added DeSarton, which was a big pivot because there were a few that told their story really well mm-hmm. because they were their marketing team or their fund development team mm-hmm. that came.
Mm-hmm.
So we brought Dee in. And so now she interviews.
Exactly.
To pull a story.
To pull a story. Yeah.
And that has worked, I think.
Yeah. We've just added structure to it. So it's consistent mm-hmm. and it's a level playing field. But more importantly, I think it gives our audience what they're hungry for.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do? Who are you?
Yeah.
How do you do it? What do you need from me?
Exactly.
And, you know, what are the successes? What can I celebrate with you?
Exactly.
And that's what we pull out of every single event. We have two ministries at minimum telling that story to a group of people. My heart is that it goes from the 60 to 100 that we have now to where we pack a house mm-hmm. at 300 or more every time, because that's transformative money.
Mm-hmm.
To a ministry that's struggling. That's also significant mm-hmm. enough to attract others who want to do more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think when we get to that,
there's a critical mass.
That's a great way to say it. Yeah. When we get to that critical mass, that's when I think it's just going to extrapolate incredible opportunities.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And we did learn too, just recently, Kimbra put together a brainstorming meeting. And, you know, one of the things we learned was that, you know, there are people in there that could give a lot more than 116.
Mm-hmm.
And so to make that opportunity available after mm-hmm. we give them, you know, after we decide, but to give people the opportunity,
mm-hmm.
if you want to give more, you know, fill the gap.
Yeah.
And so we're going to start doing that at this next meeting.
Yeah.
So we're constantly learning. We are constantly tuning in to what's working and what's not working and trying to fill in. Yeah.
That's so cool. So something that came to my mind as we're talking about reaching that critical mass, right? Like I said, I love these events and I'm looking forward to the next one.
Glad to have you and all your listeners there.
Right. And so I'm looking forward to the next one. I feel like this is something that needs to be replicated all across the world. But let's focus in on the people who were trying to get their attention to say, come and attend. Why? Why would you guys say it's important for them to put it on their calendar and to get to these events?
For me, it's if you are a longtime Idahoan
mm-hmm.
or if you're new to Idaho, you came here for a reason.
Mm.
And it's because of our lifestyle. It's because we are a values-driven community.
Mm.
It's because Christ is central to the way we do business and the way we do our politics.
Yeah, yeah.
And you want to preserve that?
Yeah.
This is how you help preserve it.
Mm.
Bottom line.
Yeah.
Because people are so afraid. Oh my gosh, my community's changing.
Uh-huh.
Well, guess what? then do something about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you preserve it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's it for me. I mean, that's the bottom line. We want a good state and community. Yeah. Preserve it by funding these ministries who are on the front line.
Mm-hmm.
At that listening event that we did, we heard something that just kind of staggered me. But I don't find it, the more I've listened to it and thought about it, I don't find it difficult to believe that there are a lot of people out there who believe like we believe, but will never darken the door of a church.
Oh, that was really,
that's brutal.
Absolutely.
And, that was heartbreaking.
So you think about that in combination with the churches, the individual church that you and I attend can only host so many ministries without, bleeding out.
Mm-hmm.
And so to have a place that is big C, big church, unifying every believer, no matter what your state and purpose is, to be able to come in and support ministries that are all about building the kingdom in the Treasure Valley.
Yeah.
I'm like, how can you go wrong?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
no, absolutely. First of all, we're talking about impact within the big C, and that's the church overall here in the Treasure Valley. And this is also an impact for your community, right? Your neighborhood, your community.
Your school.
And this is something that passes on even beyond here in the Treasure Valley. It passes on to every community. If you dare to love your community, you dare to love your neighbors, right? And you want to see the best for your community, then this really isn't an investment.
It is. Absolutely.
It's an investment into those who are trying to uplift and support the community and make it a better place.
Yeah.
And it's not a blind support either. You get to come, you get to hear, how are these people impacting the community?
Mm-hmm.
What does this do? I'm thinking, I know Kairos may be getting some extra attention this time around, but I'm thinking, so I used to work within the Idaho State Correctional Center Idaho State Corrections. I used to work within that department. And so I'm familiar with some of what happens in the prisons and coming out. I was working over at the largest facility we have over here, the Idaho State Correctional Center. And for someone to be able to minister to individuals when they are in that time, and for them to step out with a new perspective and a new moral guidance than just,
and the community that comes along with that is key.
That is something that it's very hard to replicate that without God. I'll just put it that way. It's hard to replicate it without God. I'm trying to figure out a way of wording it, but let's just put it blank, right? Call it like it is. If you want to see a change in the community, you want to see a change within maybe rising crime rates. You want to see a change within recidivism, as far as those who are going into prison, coming back out and being sent back in, and it becoming a cycle, and you seeing a cycle of it being passed down to their kids and there's kids' kids. I can't think of, there's been one person that I met the whole time while I was there talking to so many different inmates who said that their parents or their family never had any issues with the law. There's something that happens there within a family structure to where if you can get in there and you can change their heart, you can break that cycle.
Absolutely.
And that would be a huge impact into the community.
Yeah.
And that's not going to happen by funneling more tax dollars
into the
correction center. That's not going to happen by sitting back and complaining and upping your neighborhood watch. What's going to really change that is by getting these men and women the word of God.
Exactly.
And getting their hearts changed.
I mean, that's change on an individual level that touches our community.
Absolutely. You know, big ways.
What about our world coming in to Boise? You mentioned it a while back. You know, we have the second ministry that's going to be there is the International Students Ministry.
Yes.
Take that same example. When they come here from other parts of the world and experience that love of Christ and have that life-changing moment, and they go back home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they impact their world, their country. And it's phenomenal. And it's all centered around people choosing to own the lostness in their community.
Yes.
And Blossom coined that phrase a while back, and it really stuck with me, just owning the lostness in your community. Mm. And, you know, whether that's an international student or somebody from California or a family member or someone in prison, you know, whatever that looks like for you, what are you doing about it?
Yep.
And this is one way that's, it's not passive. It's not just writing a check.
Mm.
It's very active engagement and spreading the awareness.
Yeah.
And honestly, bottom line, building the kingdom.
Yeah.
Stretching.
And by the way, we're commanded.
Yeah, we are.
We're commanded to do this. There's no hole between, I mean, it's a commandment.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, you know, there's people who will never open their mouths and speak about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. Fund those that are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. If you may not have a voice, right? That may not be your gifting.
Right.
But maybe you have ears, right? Maybe you're not the one to go. Your feet aren't designed that way, but maybe you have hands and you can volunteer where you're at.
Exactly.
In Romans 12, Paul talks about how we're all members of the body and all the members don't have the same function. He does this in 1 Corinthians 2. In Romans 12, he gives a quick, concise idea of if whatever we've been graced with, whatever gifts we've been given through grace, let us use them, is what he says. Let us use them. If it's prophecy, then prophesy. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's exhortation, then exhort. And he goes in there and he says, and if it's generosity, if it's the one who contributes, do so with generosity.
Yeah.
That is one of those things that he names as a way of contributing to the body and being part of this mission of the body. And so I think we may feel limited at times with our own ability, like you said, of sharing or having certain conversations. Well, look at the talents God did give you and how can that be multiplied?
Right.
We come together and we're each willing to give so much. Can you imagine that how big of an impact it would be? How much life-changing ministry would happen if even one out of five churches and one out of, you know, five Christian-led organizations, and you say, I mean, even one out of 100 believers here in the Treasure Valley said, hey, we're going to set aside this much. Mm-hmm. You can even say it's $5 because one out of 100 believers. It adds up. Absolutely. And it would make such a huge impact in our communities.
Yeah.
And it really would help. I kind of talked about that cycle earlier and how the church has fallen out of the center of the community and been that place to go to and that place that meets the community's needs. This is a way to help bring the community back to that place to where when they're in need, they look to the body of Christ.
Yeah. And this is the church. These ministries that we're supporting are the church. And that's what we're trying to do, is to point people to Christ through, you know, whatever that immediate need is in that moment, whether it's students or prison ministry or food or shelter or coats or, you know, whatever the need is.
Yeah.
That ministry is designed by God, led by God to, again, build his kingdom.
Exactly.
And I don't think anything goes amiss. He doesn't waste anything, as somebody said to me this morning.
No, right? That makes me think. So Mission 17, they actually have this program called Story Path. I love how Michael, he reiterates and he emphasizes how this is meant to meet somebody in their time of need. This isn't a blanket, just throw it out there to whoever, but in their time of need, you meet them with this.
It's a connection point.
It's a connection point, right? When we are able to equip these ministries like Kairos, like the, what's its name? The International Students.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When you're able to meet them in that time of need, that time of displacement, concern, those, you're funding people who are meeting them in a critical time of their life.
Yeah.
Where they're able to make that connection and draw them back to God.
Yeah. Yeah.
And let God meet that need right where they are. Another organization that came to mind, because you mentioned clothing. I don't know if you guys have heard of, they may have been at a pitch before. I'm not sure. Closet.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Kelly. Yeah. Love it. Right. So I feel like that's another one of those examples to where she's meeting these students
mm-hmm.
and helping them get new clothing and providing them with clothing in a time of need when that's a concern for them. And because of that, she's able to minister to them in a gentle, loving way. And
we need a whole lot more.
We need stories. A whole lot more of that. The stories, right? That come from those things.
Exactly.
And I think that kind of pivots to another concern that I think some people would have is, are we funding organizations or ministries that are simply, you know, doing the quote unquote, the social gospel, or doing nice things, but not actually sharing the word.
So part of our team is super tuned in.
Yes. Yeah.
To the fact that if they are not actively sharing the gospel, mm-hmm. then they're not a good fit for us.
Mm.
So we've had a number of ministries that are socially minded, and we need that.
Yes.
But our team, two people in particular that says no. No, they're not.
Yeah.
They're not sharing the gospel actively.
Uh-huh.
So
we've also had ministries take that feedback and go, huh.
Exactly.
Let's change that.
You're right.
Know, because they have moved in a direction that makes them, you know, just, it does. It stands you up. It's like, well, why am I doing this? And there's nothing wrong.
No.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with being the hands and feet.
Yeah.
Yes. And we've got to have it.
And those relational points, those connection points often lead to the conversation.
Yes. Open up those doors to those conversations.
Row 116 is about being intentional about that.
That's so
cool. So I had an hour down for this, and I got
I think he's been recording the whole time.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Anything you want to edit?
No, I was waiting for this. So that's okay.
No, yeah. Awesome. No, yeah. I hit record, and we've just kind of been talking, and I go back.
You've done it. You're done. That's why I open the paper. Like, okay, here we go.
I didn't pick up your cue. So.
No, but that's great, because it's funny. There's multiple podcasts that will reference this. And I was talking with an individual who's a corporate chaplain, and he actually used to work in radio.
Hmm.
And so I was saying how, you know, my listeners are really blessed right now, because they don't just have to listen to my voice, but they actually get a professional voice. But there's this idea of the radio voice, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then if you sit down and you say, okay, we're going to start now, you know, the voice changes or it shifts a little. It's not as conversational. So so now you were just getting raw conversation.
No kidding.
I went and listened to the first podcast they did, and I'm like, oh, hold on.
Awesome.
So, but I think I love what Row 116 is. If you guys were to suggest how to get this started in other communities,
mm-hmm.
what would you say? What would be your advice to someone who says, you know what, we need to do something like this? What would be your advice?
So we've actually approached the Luis Palau Festivals.
Okay.
And there was another group that Dusty was involved in. I don't remember what it was about this, because it does. This is a no-brainer.
Yeah.
This isn't difficult. It just requires people who care deeply and are willing to have, you know, use their coordination and administration gifts to make it happen in a community. Everything we have is open source. Somebody else wants to do it, we'll give them everything they need.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
We were talking to Harvest Crusade as well about this, because they actually came and pitched and were a part of this when they brought the Harvest Crusade to Boise.
Yeah.
And again, the same feedback, you know, Mark was really clear to say, this is so unique.
Mm.
They are across the country.
Yeah,
this is so unique.
Exactly.
We need to do more of this. So I agree. It's open source. Reach out to us. We'll share whatever. But I would say the beginning point is prayer.
really just, just get on your face and and ask God and bring in a team of people who are ready to lead towards one thing. Not a bunch of good things, but one thing.
Yeah.
And then attract people who are doing that one thing.
That is
And we actually have a dream that's much bigger, which is to not only do these ministries need the funding, what they really need as much as the funding is the operations and infrastructure support.
Yeah.
In order for them to do more.
Yeah.
Because right now, with all the admin and operations and everything else, it usually, it oftentimes confounds them.
Exactly.
And get burnt out.
Yeah.
And then the ministry has to close.
Yeah. And so it pulls back from being able to actually be more hands-on in the ministry and sharing. Absolutely.
So the long-term vision is that we offer the unrestricted funds, which is what we do. We don't, there's no strings attached.
Yeah.
But also offering them the pro bono consulting that'll take them from where they're at to to the next few levels of operations.
That's so cool.
We want to partner with Idaho Partners for Good.
Yeah.
They have a transformational leadership cohort. They actually piloted it this last year. And one of the ministries that pitched was part of that pilot group.
Okay.
And the transformation that we saw in their growth, their depth, their learning in just basic operational principles is going to sustain them for years to come. So
that is, so
that, is the really next step. You ask where this go. And that is what we're hoping for, is that we can partner with a group that's already doing it, because Idaho Partners for Good has cracked the code. They brought in the leaders, they brought in the team, they brought in the level of expertise, and we can just sidle up against them and add the Row 116 twist to it and support these ministries going forward.
That is so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Leadership is paramount for any of our ministries.
Yeah.
And leaders get tired. It's a lonely, lonely place. I mean, you know this. It's a lonely place. And so to have a group of other thought leaders that will sharpen you, not just in your faith, but in your knowledge, skills, and disposition.
Exactly.
Which is oftentimes left on the side of the road when you're in a ministry.
Yeah. Well, and that's, like you said, there's so many areas that can get left behind because we're overburdened and we're getting burned out, right? And I talked with a superintendent of the Southern Idaho Ministry Network before, and we were talking about how us coming together and doing these things together, it helps make sure that those leaders can do what only they can do.
Exactly.
And
yes,
it frees them up. Yep. And so when we're able to do this for one another, when this is helping these ministries be more effective.
Absolutely.
Right? Because they're able to really focus in on what they can do and what they do best. And it helps us as a community not need to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah.
Right? We don't need to come up with 10 different prison ministries. We can just help this prison ministry be the best prison ministry.
Yeah. Exactly. Right? And grow it.
And so it's... It's one of those things where we have so many great ministries here in the Valley. Like I said, you guys probably know numbers more than I do, but there's so many that I'm looking forward to just getting to know and share and talk with. And because when we know these things and we're able to support them, like you said, it really can. It can help take their ministries to another level.
Yes.
Just people being willing to come alongside of them and volunteer to donate, to pray for them.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, you said it starts with prayer, right? And
starts and ends and everything.
Right? Yeah. And that was a big conversation me and Dusty had, was it's not going to happen without prayer. And prayer is not this nice little sweet cherry on top type of deal. It's a necessity. It's foundational.
Key ingredient.
It is key. And so to know what these ministries are doing, and then just to be able to include them in your prayers.
Mm-hmm. It's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge.
And that's enough to get out and learn about them.
There you go.
Sure.
So can we invite people to come?
Absolutely.
Awesome. I brought my
please. So yes, share about your next event and what we have coming down the road.
So it's coming up on June 10th.
Yeah.
Come in at 6 o'clock and you'll get to partake of some pizza from Idaho Pizza Company.
They are so gracious.
They are all over the
place. We love Idaho Pizza Company. Best pizza you're going to get around. And they are just so gracious.
Yeah. So on June 10th, if you got nothing else to do, we'll provide dinner. Come on out to Riverside Community Church. It's at 1450 North 10 Mile Road in Meridian. And again, the flow of the night is basically come on out, socialize, hang out. The pitchers will be there. Mm-hmm. So you can ask questions of them ahead of time. And then we'll just have a little time together. We'll pray for them. And then Dee will lead them. Dee Sarton is there to interview style.
Yeah. Yeah.
You'll have about 20 minutes to get to know each of these ministries. And then we'll hear from the winners from the last event, which was Inspire Idaho.
Nice.
They'll be there to tell us what they were all about and what they've been doing. And while that's happening, we'll be determining who the winner is that night. So how do you get to cast a vote? You go in and register at row116.org and choose the button that says donate, I believe it is, or become a member, I think it says. And, you know, just to clarify, you're not signing up for a long-term commitment. It's just becoming, that's language that we used. If I could change one thing, that'd be what I'd change. Is that, because it just freaks people out. But you're just becoming a member for that night. And the right that is attached to that is the right to vote.
Yeah.
So you pay $116, you become a member,
and
$100 of what you give that night is going to go to one of those two organizations.
Nice.
The other $16 helps us keep the doors open.
Let me encourage in this as well. Maybe you're thinking, oh, $116 is a little steep for me, right? Get a few friends and share with them. Share with them about what Row 116 is doing, about the event, and see if they're willing to pitch in to help with that vote.
Absolutely.
Right?
That'll do it.
And everyone can come and listen, but you guys will have one vote. All right.
Yes. You can click the button that says one-time donation.
Exactly.
Or you can click the one that says quarterly donation. We'll take either one.
Exactly.
And, you know, any funds that come in, if you can't be there that night, because a mouse has got to be in the house in order to vote, if you can't, anything that you do give is still going to those ministries.
Yeah.
So it's really cool. I love Row 116, but a lot of folks don't know.
Yes. What does it mean?
It is taken directly from the verse Romans 1:16.
Yeah.
That we are unashamed of the gospel. And it's the bottom line. This is who we are. It's our DNA. It's the DNA of the ministries that are coming to ask for support. And we just want to make sure that we put God on display.
Mm.
Make him famous.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it is family friendly.
Yeah.
So bring your kids, your grandparents, whoever you want to bring, and come and learn.
Yeah. That is so good. And there's three big things. One, vote, right? You can get in there, you can vote, share the cost for a vote. Just know that you're sharing a vote. All right.
Yes.
But don't let the 116 amount scare you from getting involved. Partner with some other people and make it happen.
Yeah.
Get there, learn about it. So there's get a vote in there, get there and learn. Hear from these organizations. You get to hear about from three of them because you get to hear from the previous and the two who are on. And then so your third thing is plan on talking with some people while you're there.
Mm-hmm.
This is an opportunity to network with other people who are passionate about spreading the gospel and seeing these ministries be successful in the community. So this is an opportunity to get to know other believers, get to know people who are, like Jesus said, you know, that are not against him, they're for him. Right? And so even if you think, oh, they don't actually attend church regularly or whatnot, but they're willing to be there and help make a positive impact of the community.
And there's a fourth benefit too. When you pay the $116 to vote that night, not only do you support a ministry that night, you also have the opportunity to nominate a gospel spreading ministry. So if have a passion project, by coming in and voting and supporting on June, you actually will have the opportunity to recommend to us a ministry we should look at
That's so cool.
for October.
Yeah. That is so cool. All right. Yep. I'm getting in there. I'm making some nominations.
Awesome. This has been fun, Nathaniel. Thank you.
No, thank you so much. And this has really been a pleasure. I look forward to seeing you guys at the next event. And we'll have to talk more about Convoy of Hope and that coming
down. Absolutely.
Especially, I mean, I know if Harvest was there pitching, I'm going to see if we can get Convoy there pitching for what's happening as well.
Let's do it. So, let's see what happens.
All right. Blessings. Thank you, guys. Thank you for joining us this week on the In Hope podcast. It is a small part of the ministry of In Hope. Consider partnering with us to strengthen unity among 1 million believers. Subscribe, follow us on social media, and invite others into the conversation. We hope to hear from you soon. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope.